This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Down to Dunk episode 200.
This episode's just going to be greatest hits of our past 200 episodes, so enjoy.
Buckle up. Bye.
Nope, that's not true. Taylor, that's not true. Oh. This is Luke. I'm here with Taylor, Jay, and Andrew. Guys, Thunder Basketball's back.
Is it?
It's good. But
it's back.
No, it is. Here's the deal, is we were really hoping that last night Oklahoma City Thunder would have beat Chicago so that our 200th would be a little happier. Mm-hmm. This episode may be subtitled Keeping Jay from the Ledge. I'm the eternal optimist about most things, but right now I'm a little bummed about this team, and so we're going to talk a lot about that today. So,
Andrew, talking back from the ledge real quick, just give him a little fast thing.
Well, let's rehash last week, right?
Jay, this is going to get you to the ledge. This is what we're trying to talk you back
on. No. So on Friday night of last week, really good game. And I came more away from this game, less depressed about the Thunder and more impressed with the Magic. Thunder won 139-136. A great game and a lot of huge shots. And Russ's shot from full court was incredible, but Oladipo's. Half court. But Oladipo, both of the threes that Oladipo hit were huge.
God, the one that put them up three was so ballsy.
The one in the corner that he hit on Robertson was huge, too. So, and Robertson was playing good defense.
Hey, you know what? We now know Victor Oladipo is good.
We now know Vicky is good.
Yep.
We were concerned.
I can't believe you were concerned. I was really weirded out about that.
I was a little concerned because it's just his percentages are just always not.
Is there anybody else that you've...
Oh, wow.
...that it's changed to you? Because Miritich didn't help you last night. He looked very honored last night.
But no. That
Giannis is playing pretty well.
Okay, all right. I have something to confess.
Oh, God. Hold on. Does it have to do with Portland?
No. Well, I have something to confess about that, too.
Yeah,
later.
Me too.
But not really. No, it's a 6 games. Stop it.
In the 6 games? I can have a 6-game confession.
Stop it.
You're not
my freaking Catholic father. But in the same way, we're about to say that players are good based on 6 games.
These are Andrew's confessions.
Confession, Giannis.
Just let it talk, Giannis is good.
Okay, what?
I'm just trying to confess and I can't do it.
Bring it.
Giannis is good.
Yeah, he was always good.
He's better than I thought he was.
Those were Andrew's confessions.
He's like a lot better this year than he was last year. Even.
And he was even good last year. Yeah. I hadn't really like sat down and really looked at his stats.
Admit those things. Like that's what makes the great pundits great is they don't actually like respond with facts.
Last night, 6 months ago, I said this. It's not true.
Like Charles Barkley, and Reggie Miller last night were the dumbest two commentators I've ever heard in my life, and they're just like, "Dude, Russell doesn't pass the ball ever," and it's like he had 16 assists and 8 of them in the first quarter last game.
He's literally leading the league in assists.
Well, did you see
Craig Sager?
Yeah.
Sager came back and said, "Hey guys, what do you think about the fact that Russ is actually leading the league in assists?"
And then they're like, "Well, you know what matters at the end of the
fourth
game,"
which is true. And then he shot stupid fourth quarter shots, but we'll talk about that later. So they lost to the Magic, or they beat the Magic by 3. They came back to home on Sunday and destroyed the Nuggets,
killed them.
Didn't even play the fourth quarter.
No,
looked great.
They stopped the game. Didn't even play it.
And then went the next night. So they had four games in 5 nights coming back. So it was the Nuggets on Sunday. They played the Rockets on Monday. And that's kind of when the wheels fell off a little bit. And it only fell off in the fourth quarter because they were controlling the game up by 10 going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. They were up like 16 whenever Russ went out.
Yeah. And Russ got a fourth foul and the wheels fell off. Harden went nuts.
And Durant's shoe literally fell off.
Yeah, and it was over from then. And so, but they only lost by 5, 110-105. Then they came back on Wednesday night, played the Raps, were leading that entire game until the last, I think they were up by 6 with 5 minutes left.
Well, the last 5 minutes they didn't score a field goal.
Yeah.
All they had was one free throw by Durant, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lost that game 103-98 and then came back last night and lost 104-98, another game where they felt like they were in control for a majority of the game. Or at least getting – sorry, no, they weren't. They were down, but they ended up catching up, and it looked like they were finally hitting stride, and then they just couldn't overcome the fact of terrible defense. And so Andrew and I were talking before the podcast is that each one of those three losses has a few things that you can point to give you the reason as to why the games went the way they did.
Because Twitter told me it's because – we're not a good team, and we need to blow it up.
Should probably trade everybody, fire Billy Donovan, let Monty Williams take over.
Yeah.
Seriously, people are saying this crap. Like, take a chill pill. Take it's been three. Six games.
Take three.
There's an 82-game season. It's been six games. You have a new coach. You have all new role players, essentially. This team hasn't really played together all that much. Billy Donovan has coached six games in the NBA. If somebody came to me on my sixth day of a brand new job and they watched me put a file in a wrong place, or they watched me do something stupid, no one would be like, hey man, like, you probably need to be fired. Like, because you, I mean Billy, like, he's got to figure out his personnel. He's got to stop playing Kyle Singler.
Yes.
And he's just figuring out who he has. And they're going to have their first practice basically of the regular season on Saturday. They're taking today off. And I think they have a chance to figure some things out. And if you're a Cavs fan last year,
they started the season
5-7. I mean, people were, you know, trade Kevin Love. This is a big mistake. LeBron should never come home. I mean, be prepared as a Thunder fan for the national media and for
Jay.
I'm sorry.
This is why we can't have
Jay's, I'm sorry.
Jay's watching an episode of Friends.
No, my Bluetooth just came onto my wife's car, and so it just like... All right.
So just be prepared for the people on the radio to be freaking out about it.
How about this? Don't listen to them.
Don't listen to the radio. Don't watch ESPN.
Yeah.
And watch the games and understand that, like, there are things that they can fix. Like, I feel like everything that all the mistakes that are being made are fixable. It's not like a huge flaw from the team. It's things that they're going to look at in film and say, oh, holy crap, like, why is this happening? Or, oh, Kyle Singler, like, I feel really bad that you're going to be here until 2020. Like, how is that even possible? Please exit the room.
Well, and one of the things that's important, like, you can tell on court that they're still evolving and figuring out what they're doing. Like,
without a doubt.
There's moments where, like, Russ will let a player go by, which maybe is his new style of defense, but he'll let a player go by, and all of a sudden, like, he looks back, and Steven or Serge have moved somewhere else. Like, they're not protecting the rim very well, which is a big deal. And historically, they've been a really good rim protecting team because of Serge Ibaka. And you're not going to tell me that the replacement of Kendrick Perkins for Steven Adams is actually detrimental to our rim protection. Maybe it is. Maybe I'm crazy just because he knows where he's supposed to be. But they haven't.
They're
not doing what they're supposed to do, and you can see it. And you can see it, like, after they figured out that it's like, God dang, you know, like, dang it.
It's a new defensive scheme as well.
Probably not as gentle as I said it, but.
Gentle. Dag nabbit. I think, I don't know, they just need time. Like, why can't we let this team evolve? Like, why do they have to be the best team in the league today? When everything is said and done, this team has Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, Serge Ibaka, and they're going to be awesome. So let's let them evolve. Let's let them, you know, get better. They're going to get better. They're not going to look like this all season. They're gonna be a lot better than what we see today. And if they're not, then you can if 20 games in, they're still having these same issues where they're like plugging one hole and like another leak sprint, you know, there's another leak somewhere else. You can like feel free to freak out then. But it's been six games. They beat the Spurs, which is a really nice win. They lost to Houston, you can sit down and say like these are the reasons why they lost to Houston.
Russ's fourth foul.
Fourth foul, and then the fact that they haven't really figured out what they're doing at the end of games on defense whenever you have a primary ball handler who is also the primary scorer. And they really struggle with those with that. I mean, you watched it with Derrick Rose last night. And you know what? They forced Derrick Rose into a lot of really difficult shots.
And he was just making them.
If he missed those shots, would people be talking about Enes Kanter being an improved defender? I'm just curious.
Kanter was not bad at all last night.
I don't think that's his fault at all.
Not at all.
I'm just, and that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
So like we're judging this team based upon Derrick Rose hitting
four contested jump shots.
If he misses those, I mean they're really not good shots.
No.
If he misses all those shots, the Thunder win the game. I mean, sometimes the ball just doesn't bounce in your favor. And we're kind of, as Thunder fans, we're used to the ball bouncing in our favor. Like, just like the Magic game. Like, that was a familiar feeling as a Thunder fan to watch this team, like, come from behind, hit these ridiculous shots, you know. I mean, it was a crazy game, but it was like, this is a Thunder game.
Yeah.
You watch last night, like, you're just not used to it, because when you have Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook, you're typically the team that's hitting the tough shots and that's, you know, doing the impossible.
Yeah.
And they just haven't been doing that. At least the last two games in crunch time, it's been really, really rugged to watch this team.
I think the biggest issue is the fact that we were so excited about getting this team back, a new philosophy, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, really a brand new team. And that's, I think, the most overlooked aspect of this is because of Kanter and Singler and DJs being on the team for 3 months there at the end of the season, we just assumed that they should have just plug and play. But it's really a completely new team with a new lineup with Kevin Durant and working with those guys. Your primary player joining a team that has three key people, I mean, as much as we wish Singler wasn't, guy that's getting too many minutes, although he didn't play in the second half at all, I don't think, did he?
No, he played like 8 minutes or 6 minutes last night and didn't play the rest.
It was that reminder of like, okay, they still are figuring things out because it is a new team. But the other thing is, for me, my initial point is the fact that we set our expectations way too high. And we are now dealing with the result of that. We thought they would come out, be like the Warriors. Like somebody said last night on Twitter, like Steve Kerr has won first-year coaches for all people. You know. And so I don't know. I just feel like it's one of those things that our expectations are setting us up for a little bit of letdown.
And you know, maybe our expectations for the whole season aren't too high. But yes, I think like within the first six games,
I was like 15-0. Like, let's see.
Like,
they'll never
lose. Think that there was not going to be a learning curve? You know, and we say like, well, there's going to be a learning curve, but we don't really believe it. I didn't really believe it. I expected
the learning curve is like they're only going to win by 8 instead of 30.
Right, exactly. Something too that is an issue that seems like an issue for me is it's not that we're trying to be it is that we're trying to be a new team and follow these new schemes and this new way of playing offense and defense, but we're also still trying to be the old team at the same time. So at the end of games, we are still reverting back to ISO heavy Russ and KD and not trusting our players. And at the start of the season, the first 1-2 games, so against the Magic and the Spurs, it wasn't like that, right? Like Deion was getting late game post-ups and late game jump shots. And that player is not getting trusted anymore. It's Russ and KD now. We can't put it all on Billy Donovan. I don't think he's telling them, like, okay, guys, it's the last 5 minutes. Just go out there and
Even said, right? Yeah. Post-game, he said, like, you got to pass the ball.
Yeah.
You've got to pass the ball.
They don't. They don't do it. Last night, Russ
They did last night. Kevin did. Because Deion got the shot off of Kevin's assist, and Serge got a shot off of... No, Serge's shot was off of Russ's assist.
It was, but that was when Russ was, like, triple-teamed under the basket. Like, there was no other option. You know what I mean?
So what you're going to see... And I mentioned this. Sorry, Luke. I feel like I'm jumping. I think that the most frustrating thing about it is it does feel the same, right? Like, it feels the same, because I remember...
The start doesn't. First halves don't.
Absolutely. That first quarter yesterday, you're like, oh, God, they're so good. But then the fourth quarter, I could replay 20 different podcasts 100%. Over the course of the last 2 years where we talk about the same thing. Like, oh, God, Russ went into bad Russ mode, and he forced the ball, and he da-da-da-da-da. And it's like the same narrative that we've said 1,000 times, you know? And so for me, it's the reminder that... They are evolving, but they still have bad habits, right? They have bad habits. Russ has bad habits, and he's been bad habit Russ for now two games. You know, Houston is pretty good until, you know, he fouled out or didn't foul it, but got the fourth foul. Toronto, he was awful down the stretch. And then last night, he was pretty bad down the stretch as well, and especially on defense.
But going back to what you're saying, though, yes, it is six games. Like, these guys aren't going to not have these habits anymore that they've had for, you know, 6 years. They've played this way for 6 years.
Blow it up. Sell the team. Seattle, you can have them back.
So the next two games, they play Sunday night at home versus Phoenix, and then they go to Washington on Tuesday. Those are both 6 o'clock tips here locally. And then they don't play anybody until Friday, so that'll be good too. And so I bet they split those, and then they go to the Sixers and beat them by a decent amount.
2,000 points.
Actually, the Sixers are at home. Excuse me. That's next Friday night. So,
guys,
that's a nice little break.
Yes, it's nice to have those games spread out. It's kind of, I don't know, this from now until Sunday is probably going to really suck as a Thunder fan, just because you have nothing to talk about except for all these losses and Anthony Morrow not playing. So,
hey, let's jump into some Twitter questions. Twitter questions. Our first Twitter question comes from @cam8990. Who wants to know, is Russ the Thunder's best player now?
9990.
Is Russ the Thunder's best player now?
I would have said that there was a chance after the first three games. Like, maybe. Not a chance that he's the best, but like he has...
The most important player on the team.
Durant is Durant. Like, he's... Even in their losses, he's played well.
Someone just tried to log into my Twitter account from Rwanda.
Oh.
Well,
that's a prince from Rwanda, probably. I think he needs money from you.
I think he needs your money.
From my Twitter?
Yeah.
Twitter money? Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
So I just think that I would have said so the first three games, but the last three games, it's just Durant is so good, man.
Durant's really good.
I think how it's happened or with the Thunder team so far, Russell Westbrook has been the most aggressive.
Yeah,
of the two, and he's not holding back anything. He doesn't seem to be letting the game come to him. He's seizing every single moment of the game, good or bad. Russ, Kevin Durant's kind of letting the offense evolve. He's letting the game come to him more so, and I think he needs to be. Frankly, he needs to be more aggressive, and I think he did a better job of that last night, kind of taking control of the game a little bit more. Is he the best player? No. I mean, if Russell Westbrook had a jump shot, like a reliable jump shot, I would hand the keys of the team to him. But you have Kevin Durant. He's still one of the best players alive, and you saw it last night.
I'm saying Russ is the best.
Okay, go ahead and make your case.
I like him the most, and he is the best. And he is awesome.
He wears overalls. He's great. He's awesome. He is one of the best players in the NBA, easily. I think his PER is second to Curry's right now. Like, he's been really good. He leads the league in assists.
So he's the best. But stats tell us he's the best. Stats are never wrong.
Stats are never wrong, especially early in the season.
So Kevin Durant's per game, or you can even do per 36 minutes right now, 28 mm-hmm. points. He's shooting 90% from the free throw line, 54% from two. Or from the field, and 41% from the 3-point line.
It's been awesome.
I mean, and the thing is, Durant gets beat sometimes. He's always going to get beat defensively. He's not a stopper, but man, he's always where he needs to be. Like, he is giving maximum effort on the defensive end. And sometimes it feels like,
I think he's playing a little smarter defense this year because, like, maybe he can't rely on himself.
He also had a huge block on Pau Gasol last night, too.
Every game, I feel like he's done something or two things defensively that's like, wow, that's surprising, even for Kevin Durant.
Those are incredible percentages, though, man.
Yeah.
He's shooting. His shooting is
for a guy that's shooting. I mean, he's shooting six. He's averaging six and a half 3-pointers per 36 minutes, you know? And, I mean, that's a lot of shots to be hitting over 40% of them.
Jay, that sounds good, but stats can lie. Russ is the best.
Yeah.
I want KD to take more threes.
Yeah.
I think he should be taking... you know, Russ is taking six as well.
Yeah.
I just think that Durant needs... And Russ is actually hitting his threes this season so far.
Yeah. He's 35%?
Almost 37%.
You know who's not taking threes? Serge.
He's taken four and probably hit two of them.
He's hit one. Yeah. He hit his first last.
He
had one before
in Toronto game.
I thought that was his first.
It
was his first.
You guys move on to.
But it could have been Charles Barkley who told me that.
We're losing. Jay's gone now.
All right, I'm in the research mode.
Our next Twitter question is from @Brody_Jenner, who wants to know, will the current starting five be the same starting five heading into the playoffs?
Hey, guys. One.
I was right.
One. 1-3.
One.
Luke.
Right.
You know all you the Thunder stats.
I know, man. You are the
statistician. That's why they call me the stat man.
Nope.
Okay.
I almost went through. Nobody recognized.
There we go.
Nobody, I just, oh man, Taylor, we just made another connection.
All right. Starting five, current starting five. Will it be the same starting five heading into the playoffs? Andrew, what do you think?
Basically, you're asking, is Andre Robertson going to start?
That is exactly what this question is asking.
I don't know.
I know, guess what? I don't think he is. You know why?
Trade.
Deion.
Deion has.
Deion's hasn't, I mean.
Deion hasn't gotten a ton of opportunity offensively with when he's playing with those big guys.
No.
How low is the bar for Deion, too? That's my deal. Like, oh, you know, he has shot six of the most ridiculous step back jump shots this season.
I'll tell you this. I am, as you are on the ledge of depression, I'm on the ledge about to buy a Sunset Orange Deion jersey. I'm so ready.
You should do that.
I'm so ready to do
it. You should do that today.
You should do that.
I like Deion.
I might treat myself.
Treat yourself.
He's trying so hard to work within the system.
He's trying so hard.
He is. He's been. I mean, I don't think Deion Waiters starting is going to happen. But
I don't either.
Unless they fix some of their defensive woes, they need Robertson on the court.
Man, Deion has been really good defensively.
Put them both on the court.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And Robertson's 4 of 8 in the last four games.
Is. Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to. I don't know. It's just really hard to watch them play 4-on-5 on the other end.
Dude, there's one play, and tell me if you remember this. Serge gets a rebound. It was like, oh, God, this is why he shouldn't be on the court. Serge
is
gets
the Toronto game?
No, this is last night.
Oh, okay.
Serge gets the offensive rebound. It was one of those plays where Cantor was phenomenal last night.
He's been good.
And so he gets the rebound and tips it around. Serge grabs it. So he grabs it on the top right of Bauer at the free throw line, and Robertson is out at the 3-point line right there, like from me to the wall from where Serge is, and he's wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And Serge looks at it. You can see it, like looks at him and says, oh, no, I cannot throw it to him. You know. And then he throws it across court to Russ, who Jimmy Butler steals it and finishes at the other side.
It's a huge, huge problem.
And it was a huge problem. Time of the game too, like the Thunder were right there. They were up one, or they were right at the tide, and it just was like. But the thing is that's not on Robertson, right? Like, I know that you may not trust the guy, but give him the ball, because what you see with Kevin and what you see with Russ is they throw the ball and they're frustrated when he does not shoot it.
Yeah,
like they're yelling at him, shoot the ball.
It's the hesitation.
Exactly. It's killing. Just pull it, man.
It's the kill. You kill. I mean, every time he touches the ball, like, how many seconds of the shot clock is he killing? Like, I feel like, I mean, it takes him a long time to get his shot off, first of all. But I feel like he just destroys the team. I mean, you have to kind of reconcile this. Is his defense so good
that it counters
that it's okay for him to be horrible? I mean, horrible. Maybe the worst offensive player in the NBA.
Wait.
On the other end.
Like starter or overall?
Of a guy who plays?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
Who would you replace him with? Morrow?
Give me Morrow, man.
Just
put
him in the starting lineup. They put Morrow in the starting lineup and play Deion behind him.
I understand that thought process, man, but if you start Morrow,
yeah.
Durant and Russ have to take on more ownership of the defense because they're going to get torched. Torched.
You know what? They got torched by Jimmy Butler anyways with Robertson on him.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is
DeRozan, too.
I don't think that's a way you can make a logic. You can't make the argument going backwards from that. Like, well, they're getting torched with whoever it is. So
why not?
I guess you can. You just try to beat teams 130 to 120.
I don't even think you have to. If you have a defensive scheme where you're not reliant on a guy like that, where yeah. you, I mean, like how does, like, how do other guys, like, how does Cal Korver get to play 40 minutes right. a game on a right. good defensive squad? Like,
still a better defender than Morrow.
They have good defensive schemes though, but yeah. he's not a one-on-one you're defender. Right. He's not a Robertson.
JJ Redick kind of thing. I got you.
I mean, you just have to give guys a chance, honestly. Yeah.
And then it brings you to, like, why does Singler get those chances?
Why?
Guys, why? That leads us to our next Twitter question. It is from @DanForPrez, who wants to know, is Kyle Singler an April Fool's joke on Thunder fans?
This is the most elaborate April Fool's joke ever because it's November.
It is.
So here's my theory.
I'm hoping it still won't be a joke come April.
Here's my theory. He is the new Jeremy Lamb.
Who is?
Hold on. Let me finish.
Okay.
Singler.
Okay.
Because he has to be doing stuff in practice that everybody's just like, oh my gosh. He's like shooting 80% from yeah. the 3-point. Like, surely. Because he's done nothing in a game to warrant any playing time.
Yeah. No, he's Derek Fisher.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's in our frustration. Yes.
I don't understand. Wait. How...
I'm saying he's our what? Lamb in the fact. You remember we used to have that conversation that Lamb, the like,
is this just in your head or
reason,
real life?
The reason people keep, like, he keeps being a part of the team is because there's something, you know, in the same sense that, so yeah. Kingler's, what we always said is that Lamb is doing something terrible in practice, right?
Yeah. Like
something's happening in the same way that Singler must be doing something incredible in practice.
Because why does he keep getting,
like, why is he getting minutes? Like, where has he yeah. earned anything?
So let me
Sam Presti thing. Sam Presti just loves him.
This is really racist.
Has he became weirder looking?
Who?
I know it's his hair.
Yeah.
I think as you get more upset with him, the weirder you think he looks.
Oh, he's like, looking at him right now. He looks like I would be friends with him in middle school or high school, but I wouldn't be friends with myself in middle school or high school.
Did he put in color contacts?
Probably.
God, it drives me nuts, man.
So let me give you his percentages.
He probably put in the, like, the big black ones, like he's the bass player for Limp Bizkit.
Wes Borland, I was just going to talk about him.
Hey, this guy in my high school, he wanted those black contacts, but he didn't have the actual ones. So he took them out in class and sharpied them and put them in his eyeball.
Hey, that guy's blind.
Blind.
Yeah. He was also a guy who, he was like, yeah, I can get you whatever you need. What do you need? Drugs, whatever. And this guy was like, as a joke, Cal Mankin, he said, hey man, I need a sewer rat. He's like, for real? He's like, yeah, I need like 2 sewer rats. He's like, I got you, bro. And was gone for like a week.
And no one's seen him since.
No one's seen. He's been looking for a sewer rat. It's hard to find 2 sewer rats in Oklahoma.
I need a sewer rat.
Kyle Singler.
Anyways.
He is a sewer rat.
He is the sewer rat. He is the sewer rat of the Thunder. He's been real. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how you can continue to put him in the game over and over and over again.
He's shooting 14% from the field. 14%.
He's been so bad. I mean,
it was like, he's from the Pistons. He's a shooter. He's going to be so great.
They must be watching, like, Thunder film, and then afterwards they watch Kyle Singler on the Pistons film. And they'd be like, yeah, Kyle, remember, you know, 2 years ago when you did this? That was great. Can't wait to play you in the first quarter again. Let's try.
It's unbelievable.
He's been... If you're in there and you're Kyle Singler and you're not spacing the floor...
No.
And what's funny is that he's been a worse shooter than Robertson, like way worse, but his reputation is still way better than what Robertson's is. You actually have to guard him. But I just don't understand how Anthony Morrow is not taking the place of Kyle Singler's minutes. And I think that eventually he will because, dude, I don't know.
I don't know.
Hey, that leads us to our next question.
Well, just real quick, sorry. It just once again, I feel like I'm having the same conversation that we've had before. And that's the most frustrating thing about right now. It's like, why is Derek Fisher getting these minutes over, you know, XYZ? It's like the same. Why is Caron Butler getting minutes over XYZ? You know, it's the same exact conversation. And it just drives me insane. And so the hope is, yes, they evolve and they change. And if he is a metrics guy, right? Like, surely you can look at this and be like, something's not happening. And he goes full five, like a platoon backup squad. And one of the things that Brooks did is he would sub Durant out at 7 minutes, let Russ play through 10 minutes and then sub Durant in to play with that second squad.
He didn't always stagger his lineup, so that was a big complaint about Brooks, too.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, how much has Billy Donovan looked like Scott Brooks? Like if you didn't know that we had a new coach.
Same. And Thorpe said that.
It looks a lot. He's saying that this is not what he wants. In post games, Donovan's like, this is not what I've asked the team to do. We need to be doing these things.
Yeah.
So like he's still implementing a new system that will eventually look different than what we're seeing. But this team, I mean, they played under Brooks forever.
Yeah.
Like that's all they know.
So that's their and they all started with him when they were 20.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think somebody else that's been bad in the last couple games, I think it's been a huge deal, is Augustine.
Oh, Lord.
He was so good in the first three games.
I know.
He was good.
And he was really bad the last two.
I mean, just awful.
Like, not even worth being on the court. Like, at that point, I was like, all right, campaign, please. Like or just give Waiters the ball and put Morrow at the two.
Yeah.
So, all right.
I mean, he was Toronto waved me a few years ago bad.
Yes.
There's no reason this bench should be getting outscored by other
exactly
benches
what I'm
like
saying. Exactly what I'm saying.
Guys, our next Twitter question is from @S_Morrison1, who wants to know, why hasn't Anthony Morrow played as much as most people thought?
I don't have an answer.
It has to be a defensive thing. It has to be they look at him and say, well, we have Derrick Rose and Jimmy Butler, and we don't think that you can guard either one of these guys. Or they're, you know, we're not gonna risk you getting switched on to James Harden. I mean, what else is it? I mean, I think that's it.
I don't have anything.
But at the same time, you're playing Kyle Singler, who is not a very—he's not a good defender. He's not a good shooter. He's not a good passer.
Like his reputation is what he's living on right now.
Yeah, I just feel like Anthony Morrow has played. Like he's played in these games, but I just feel like he's being put in at a spot and at a time where he really can't succeed.
Yes.
Like, you need to play him whenever you have Russ and KD out there, but he's playing with, like, the crappiest lineups in the world, and it makes me feel like Donovan's like, well, see? Look.
Yeah.
He's not doing it.
And he's playing 2 minutes at a time.
In the Raptors game, he had three shots. They all just seemed, like, so forced. Like,
yeah.
If I don't shoot this now, I'm not going to be able to shoot the ball ever again in my whole life.
He should not be having to prove himself at this point in his career.
He should have wide open three-point shots. Like, should be, like, you should be able to work the ball around and get the ball to him wide open. But when you're playing with these crappy lineups, like, he's playing with all bench guys.
Yeah.
Like, you're not putting him – I just don't feel like they're putting him in a space to succeed. And then, like, I just don't understand why Kyle Singler gets the minutes with starting guys and with a good unit whenever he just hasn't shot the ball well since he's been in Oklahoma City at all. So it's strange. It's something that everybody is kind of confused about. I mean, from Royce to Anthony Slater, like, nobody really gets it. I mean, except for just saying, like, we don't want him to defend this guy or that guy. But at the same time, he's just a better option. He's just clearly a better option. You know, in the past, you know, you had Caron Butler playing over Jeremy Lamb. Jeremy Lamb hadn't proven anything in his NBA career. So, that made a lot more sense then. Anthony Morrow's proven to be one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA.
History.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just...
Yes.
I mean, I just don't understand why.
And it's not like he was playing bad for the Thunder this year, and it's like, okay, well, sorry, Anthony, you're just not playing well.
We're hemorrhaging points whenever he's in. He just can't stay in the game. He's just not given the proper chance. So
I don't get it. It's baffling.
Nobody
makes me sad.
Nobody knows. He's got to break through this rotation, right?
He's got to.
There's
no reason.
Believe it when I see it, man.
Okay. Where was his last team before this?
It's got to happen.
New Orleans.
Okay. Ooh, who was his last coach?
Monty Williams.
Ooh, and he got traded from that team.
He did not get traded from that team. He was a free agent.
Well, they didn't re-sign him.
Well, he may have not. I mean,
he
could have
gone back and played with New Orleans or come to Oklahoma City.
It worries me.
As an unrestricted free agent, he wanted to come to the Thunder.
I'm worried.
Wasn't it at Media Day also that they were like, Monty taught me all these things. Like, he was a great coach.
He
loved it. He had a great year in New
Orleans. Weren't they hugging during Media Day just the whole time they were doing interviews?
He was cradled by Monty
Williams. Yeah, like a little baby?
At the podium.
Luke, we're just basically saying your argument's not very good.
He played.
I'm worried.
I don't think it has anything to do with Monty Williams. I think it just has to do with the fact that we have so many imperfect wings. Like every wing that's not Kevin Durant has a huge flaw. And the guy who's probably least flawed, which is really funny, is Dion Waiters.
Yeah. He can play the defense.
What's funny about
play the offense.
Because everybody talks about him like he's a big fat joke.
Because I'm about to buy a jersey.
It's not funny.
Guys, let's move on to our next Thunder question.
You nailed it.
It's our next Twitter question. It's from @ThunderBarracuda, who wants to know, or who wants us to name the top bench players in the NBA for each position, and would that team make the playoffs?
I'm going to rely a lot on you, probably, Andrew, for this one. I was trying to think of some different guys and who I liked from different teams, but
who's your team? Did you come up with the team? I got one. You didn't? All right.
So let's talk centers. Who do you got?
Kosta Kufis.
Would you take him over Kanter?
Kanter's my power forward on this team.
Oh. What about, my power forward probably Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson. Like, why can't it be Kanter and Tristan Thompson?
Because I don't like that rim defense. I don't like that rim
protection.
Tristan
Thompson's a pretty good rim defender, isn't he?
Kosta Kufis, though, good defender.
Here's who I have next to Kanter, Tiago Splitter.
I almost did it.
You like Kosta Kufis better than Tiago Splitter?
Yep.
But you have sweet. Hold on. So Kanter's your
what world is this?
I don't know.
Come on, dude.
Small forward.
Paul Pierce. I almost went Iguodala.
You gotta go Iguodala.
What is wrong with?
What is happening?
Listen,
you're
putting, you're putting the makeup together. Of my
okay,
team.
You're putting
team.
Together a team. Okay,
I made a team.
Okay, okay,
just
okay.
Love Kosta Kufis. Enes Kanter, Kosta Kufis, Paul Pierce, Marco Bellinelli, Jeremy Lin.
I gotta have
Paul Pierce out there. If I'm playing Marco Bellinelli and Jeremy Lin, I need Paul Pierce out there.
Why can't you have
Iguodala?
Yeah,
I like Paul Pierce's leadership and his scoring ability.
I love his oldness.
I like his scoring ability and his playmaking abilities.
I like all his icy hot.
Listen, this is such a stupid thing. Why are you guys criticizing my bench team?
So hold on. Let's talk.
Because it's whack.
I'm glad you guys made one. Let me hear
your
teams.
Let's talk about some point guards that would be in the running for that, like Isaiah Thomas.
Thomas. He's a starter.
He does not start.
He does.
He has been starting, yes.
So who's their backup? Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart's been injured.
Are you sure?
Oh, there we go. Well, yes. That doesn't count. He is their backup point guard.
I don't know.
Technically, no.
So, good job, guys. Thank you. What else?
I mean, I still think Isaiah Thomas is their sixth man.
Sean Livingston.
Yeah, you think he's
Darren Collison for Lynn. Sacramento.
Darren Collison.
Oh, I love Darren Collison.
I do, too. I actually think he's
a lot
good.
More than Jeremy Lin, yeah.
I don't.
Raymond Felton.
You're still pretty Lin Sane, man.
Good start.
Huh?
You're still pretty Lin Sane.
Patrick Beverly.
Oh, I'm living in Lin Sanity.
Corey Joseph, man. He's pretty good for the Raptors.
He was good.
He runs a lot with Lowry, but I mean, he's still their backup point
guard.
But
that was a reason. I mean, he pretty much killed DJ Augustine in that game.
Yeah, of course.
Just want to say that. Yeah. DJ Augustine couldn't do anything.
DJ Augustine.
So twos. Marco Bellinelli.
Beans
Ryan Waiter.
Marco Bellinelli's been put in the starting lineup. Ben McLemore's on the bench.
He wasn't
so
last night.
So then Ben McLemore. Kevin Martin.
It's a rumor.
That's not true. That's a rumor? He didn't
Patty
play.
Mills. Come on, I'm throwing out all these names, and you're not biting on any of them.
Patty Mills?
Patty Mills.
I hate the worst thing threes. About Patty Mills is his name.
What about
Patty?
Kevin Martin?
Yeah.
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 I'd rather have him than Marco Bellinelli.
Would you?
I would. 100%.
Yeah. Yes. So what about... So I'm thinking Orlando. What position does Aaron Gordon play?
He's a power forward.
Aaron Gordon.
I think he's good, man. I wouldn't take him over Tristan Thompson probably right now, but Aaron Gordon's good. That boy is good.
If I'm building a team.
Absolutely. Building a team?
This team has to make the playoffs.
No Aaron Gordon.
That's another reason I took Paul Pierce. I just like him in the playoffs, man. Comes a big
Boris.
You have to make the playoffs first, though.
Boris
Diaw. I think they're making it.
In the East? That's an eight seed.
I just threw out so many backups. And
Costa Kufas and Jeremy Lin.
Costa Kufas, Jeremy Lin, Enes Kanter, Paul Pierce, Marco Bellinelli.
That team is getting roasted.
That's an eight seed right there.
Hey, you know who's, we got seed. You know who's the backup shooting guard for the Hornets?
Jeremy Lin?
Jeremy Lamb.
I'm not doing it. I don't trust him
yet. Oh, you may.
He's had two good games so far.
Dude got paid. Let's talk about his contract. You want to?
We're done with our backup team, huh?
Yeah, you guys didn't even try, and then you criticized
I threw out 14 different guys on each position.
Okay, like, Isaiah Thomas.
There's no respect in this group, Luke.
Isaiah Thomas, Kevin Martin,
Andre Iguodala, Tristan Thompson, and a scanner.
That team way better than your team. And Andrew and I just did it with our collaborative brains.
That's right. Bo. Have you seen our brains?
You guys did too. Two brains.
Would you rather have Tristan Thompson or Tiago Splitter?
I'd probably...
He's playing with Enes Kanter.
Probably Tiago then, just because he just knows where to be defensively.
All right, too. Let's do it. Let's go to the playoffs.
I don't like that you took Isaiah Thomas.
Why? He's really good.
Yeah, but he's not a bench player right now.
Oh, my Lord, Taylor.
What if he... What?
Is it?
I mean, hold on. Are you making fun of a upset stuttering, Jay?
No.
Guys, let's move on. Let's stop the personal attacks. Let's move on.
Yeah, it feels like it's getting a little personal in here. It's 200 pod, guys.
Marcus Smart's their starting point guard.
What?
Marcus Smart's their starting point guard. I don't understand. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is their sixth man.
Okay. He hasn't been for like three games.
And is it because Marcus Smart's playing?
I don't know why.
Who's the backup point guard for Portland? CJ McCollum, or is he their starting two guard?
Starting two.
All right. Well, I mean, he just really is a point guard.
I mean, really? All right.
I don't know.
Guys, let's move on to
I haven't watched them play once.
Our next
you
Twitter question.
You should watch them play, because I kind of like them. Sorry, Luke.
Have you confessed that yet?
I have nothing to confess about that.
I do. They're really fun to watch this year.
Yeah.
I like their jerseys.
Their jerseys are good. That team is fun.
They're going to lose a lot of games.
So are you.
Guys, our next Twitter question comes from @WolfTooth. Who wants to know, what grade would you give Billy Donovan's performance so far?
I.
Incomplete.
Yeah.
F. He's failure. Fire him. Get him out of here.
F for fire.
I think he's been fine. I just don't think he's implemented the system that he wants.
Yet. I think he has in part, right? Like, there's moments where you're like, oh, they're passing the ball way better than they ever have. And then it's like, oh, and then it just ball stops and the worst moments.
I give him a C.
I give him a passing grade. I'm not giving him like traditional letter grades. Like, if you go to bowling class, you get like a pass or fail.
Pass or fail.
Yeah, I give him
a
pass.
My dad's going to pass.
He's making like a 71 in NBA coach class.
Yeah, he's almost got a D.
He does. He's at risk.
And I think it's.
But you know what? We're only 2 weeks into the semester.
That's right. There's time.
Plenty of time to make
up. You got a ton of time to bring your grade up.
You know how many times 2 weeks into the semesters I had Ds? Every semester. In every class.
Every semester.
Finish strong. Start weak.
Got to kill that midterm, though, Billy.
I'm ready. That's a Christmas game. Midterm.
I like that.
All right. Our next Twitter question comes from @CIC66, who wants to know which team is off to the most surprising and the most disappointing start to the season. Let's go first. Surprising.
I don't know.
I'm surprised by the State. Portland Trail. I'm not
That's
surprised
what I was
by that.
Say.
You're surprised by Golden State?
Hold on. I'm surprised at the fact that they're slaughtering teams, which would also probably lead me to say that maybe the Grizzlies are the most disappointing team.
Oh, Lord.
No, they lost last night again to Portland.
They got killed by Portland.
Here's the thing Alex Spears said on Twitter. He's like, if you are worried about the Thunder right now, just imagine being a Grizzlies fan for 5 minutes and you'll go insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Thunder, I mean, they have the same record right now, but the way that they've lost to teams.
Oh, yeah. They've lost in single digits every time. Oklahoma City.
Yeah. But if you're a Grizzlies fan, like, they have gotten just destroyed. Like,
they got beat by 50 points.
I
can't remember a team getting beat by 50 points that wasn't like
the Sixers.
And this is a team that is known for their defense and slowing down a game.
119-69 was the final score.
Well, they were slow, but they just...
they were very slow.
I've been surprised by the Raptors. Is a huge surprise. They've been really good. And they were, I mean, they were good against the Thunder. They were super aggressive. They kind of know who they are. They're a lot better on the defensive end. This year they have, you know, DeMar Carroll is a really great addition. As much as you guys make fun of the fact that I like Bismack Biyombo, he's a good...
He almost got a foul with Russell Westbrook.
And he did.
I know, that's pretty cool.
That was cool.
Surely you're surprised by Portland.
I'm very surprised by Portland.
I'm surprised by Portland, yeah. I mean, if the playoffs started today, they'd be the third seed.
If the playoffs started today, the NBA would not be a good... Basketball would not be a good sport.
Hey, the Thunder would be in the playoffs still.
So
8 seed, 7 seed.
Anybody else you're surprised with? Are you surprised by the Knicks at all? You kind of are they doing what you kind of thought they would?
I mean, they're inconsistent.
They're 2-3.
They're
yeah,
not,
I'm surprised. Part of me maybe thinks that they would have been 0-5 for some some conversation.
Yeah, they've had good moments, but overall they're about who you think they would be.
Yeah.
Someone I'm surprised by, Orlando, their record is really misleading because I think they're much better than 1-4.
Dude, you know how many they lost to Houston and Oklahoma City in overtime. They lost to the Wizards with the last second shot.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. Dallas is bad. I kind of assumed they would be. They're looking, you know, sad. Probably the Hornets would be somebody I'm surprised that they aren't 0-5.
Yeah, the Hornets have been pretty good. I don't know.
New Orleans.
I'm not surprised by that.
I'm a little bit surprised in that the entire offseason, all we heard was that Alvin Gentry is like going to save this team.
Yeah.
And that they have not looked good. I mean, nothing about them has looked good.
No.
So, I mean,
they're super hurt though.
They are, but they haven't looked good.
Yeah.
Like as a squad, like Anthony Davis and there's been a lot of people that have talked about this. Like he's not living up to expectations at all. Yeah. Like he's not trying hard on defense. I'm super concerned about that New Orleans Pelicans team. I mean, they've got to get it together quick. Cause you slip, you know, you go 0-5, 0-6, 0-7. Like they're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Right. What about the Pistons? 3-1 on the season.
I'm not really surprised because I didn't have expectations.
And they haven't.
Way.
They haven't beat a whole lot of. They haven't beat a whole lot of good teams.
I don't know. I think that they've.
Well, They've beaten.
No, they. I mean, they've played really well. They're only
they beat the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Jazz.
Those are good teams. And their biggest flaw is that they just have maybe one of the worst benches in the NBA.
And then they lost Meeks to a Joan fracture for a while, or who knows, maybe the season.
Yeah, that's a big deal. And you know, Brandon Jennings, if he can ever come back and play well, I guess he needs to go see the same doctor as Wes Matthews because Wes Matthews is playing. Like, what's up with that? That's weird.
Do we need to talk about that?
I don't know.
It is strange. It is. Like, he's playing pretty well.
Yeah. He doesn't look... I mean, when you watch him play, he looks about like Wes Matthews. It's really strange. But anyways, the Pistons have been surprising. If they could get one or two bench guys, they could actually be really good. And here's where like Josh like eating that Josh Smith contract really hurts them because they could have used that money to bring in somebody.
Especially would this be his last year?
I think he has two more years.
Good Lord. If this is an expiring contract, you know, that would be a huge piece.
Maybe it is. I don't remember. But anyways, I don't know. I think they're going to be good. They need to get better production out of their bench.
They had when they lost to the Pacers, they had 2 bench points total.
I mean, one of the worst benches in the league.
Andre Drummond played 43 minutes that game.
Yeah, I'm going to say some Andre Drummond for myself. What's that of the week?
I mean,
okay. All right.
All right. Aaron Baines, man. Aaron Baines sucks.
He does kind of suck.
Hold on. Aaron Baines. How do you really feel?
He's horrible.
Don't hold it back.
That is a player that the Spurs made everyone think was good because he played for the Spurs.
They gave him just this massive deal for a backup big, He's horrible.
Well, and Stan Van got on a podcast. I can't remember who's and said, like, actually, if you look at his rebounding rate, he's actually a really good rebounder. He's a really good free throw shooter.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen that yet.
You can watch him practice those things because he sucks.
Next Twitter question comes from @Sam_Hart89, who wants to know, after our first games in the new orange jersey, what do you think? Best uniforms yet or eyesores?
I like them, but I'm so jacked for the Christmas Day jersey.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't bought a jersey in 20 years.
Those look great.
Those look really cool. I may buy one.
They all look great. I like them. What? You don't like
them? I may buy one of those jerseys. I love the Christmas jerseys. But I like the sunset.
What do we think about the sunset? Graded on a scale of 1 to 10.
Six.
I'm giving them an 8.5. They're pretty cool.
Whoa, you really like them.
You're a Thunder jersey? They're so good.
That's true. Like, it depends what context you're talking about.
In the Thunder jersey.
In the grand scheme of all jerseys.
They're so good.
Why the crap do we have to call them sunset jerseys?
There's nothing sunsetty about
them. One of the rumors is that they don't want to call them orange because, you know, OU fans may all of a sudden stop.
Because we can't call colors colors. that's the dumbest thing in the world.
Andrew, also, we live in Oklahoma and we have some sunsets here if you haven't noticed.
Hey, they are pretty.
Boomer.
I like them. Boomer.
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 My sunsets are red.
It's crimson.
Crimson.
I like them. I'm about to buy a Dion one.
I think they're pretty cool.
You should buy a Dion.
I'm so ready.
6.25. Good.
6.25?
Yeah, that's it. 6.5.
Dion does look the best in them for some reason.
Dion looks the best in everything.
He really does. Dion's the best. I text you guys this. Dion is only lovable at this point.
He's like a teddy bear. Like, I just want to hug him.
There's nothing bad about him anymore.
No. I just giggle when he takes step backs. I just giggle.
And he swishes him?
Yeah. The unnecessary step back, too, where he's just wide open, was so great.
My favorite part about Dion is that it's not like a lot of people shoot step backs. A lot of people shoot setbacks. Nobody takes a jump shot.
Yeah, he fades
away.
That
dude goes back 4 feet and really shoots it up.
He's so great.
I love him.
He's
great.
Okay.
Love you, Dion.
Our final Twitter question comes from @CIC66, who wants to know, what is the best Nintendo game of all time?
I'm going Super Nintendo.
Ooh.
Turtles in Time. It's a freaking awesome video game.
I've never heard of that game.
That is Big Apple. 3 a.m.
Big Apple. 3 a.m.
Prehistoric Turtlesaurus.
No, there cannot be many people who know what we're talking
about. No.
There can't be a ton of people.
It's a... tonight I dine on turtle soup. It's a game where the turtles go back
Ninja
in
turtles.
Time. The Ninja Turtles go back in time and they fight. Bad guys.
It's a freaking awesome video game. Is it not?
It is so good.
Would you not just sit and play that game? If somebody invited you to go sit and play that game today and said, hey, man, I got 2 hours. You want to play Turtles in Time?
I wouldn't beat it, but yeah, it's very difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult, but it's
fun.
It's a great really game. Fun. Great game.
I'm trying to think of another thing that they say at the beginning of levels. They have like an introductory train, and that's when they say all the things that I'm saying.
Sore surfer.
YouTube. I feel like I just jumped into like YouTube's childhood.
I mean, we've played this game together many times.
Luke and I grew up together, and yes, we played this game a lot together.
God, I just need one more. What's another one that they say at the beginning of levels? I don't know.
So mine has to be, there's two of them, and they're both 64 games.
Technodrone, let's kick shell.
GoldenEye is hands down my favorite. It's probably the game I've played the most in my entire life,
too. It's a great game.
There's a story about GoldenEye this week on some website that I read, and it said that the guy from like Miyamoto, who's like the brains behind Nintendo, thought it was too violent and wanted, at the end of the game, you meet all of the characters that you've shot in the hospital and shake their hands.
That's funny.
Because he didn't want them to die.
I love the original Tecmo Bowl. I played that a lot.
Yeah.
And then Mario, the old school Nintendo 64 Mario Kart was just tremendous.
So good.
So,
did you play Mario Tennis?
Oh, yeah. Mario Tennis is awesome.
I love Mario Tennis.
Is that your favorite game?
No, it's one of them. Blitz 64 was so good.
Yeah, Blitz was fun.
What else did I play a lot? I played a ton of Mario Tennis.
Like, I would just sit by myself and play all those, like, little side games and all that stuff. Waluigi eat Daisy.
Yeah, it was a great game.
My confession is that I got really nerdy with this question because I thought Nintendo made games. Like, Turtles in Time, not made by Nintendo.
Oh, yeah. Who was it made by? Tamagotchi?
I think it was made by Konami.
Oh, yeah.
But my favorite Nintendo, best Nintendo game of all time, my favorite is a game called Earthbound that no one will ever know.
Earthbound?
Oh, Ness?
Ness. He's from Ness. He's in Super Smash Bros.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never played it.
And the sequel, Mother 3, that was not released in America.
That I played on my computer. It's really good.
Wasn't Earthbound, like, really, like, at the time, like, the most expensive game you could buy? Because it had, like, something that came with it?
It came with a player's guide, so it was all, like, $60.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess what? Still have it.
Did you guys play Turok?
Yeah, yes. The game was kind of whack.
That game sucked, but it was like the most hyped 64 game.
You know what Nintendo game doesn't get? Nintendo 64 game gets no love, and it was the best game on 64. Bomberman 64. Great game. Didn't play it. Great game. You missed out. Mm. No one played it. It's great.
1080. It's a snowboarding game.
1080 was fun.
Oh, 1080 was great.
What about Snowboard Kids?
What about Donkey Kong? Donkey Kong Country.
Yes, that's great.
That's a freaking... I'm telling you, it's the
Turtles
greatest.
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time is great.
Big Apple.
3M.
Okay, let's move on. Andrew, we have a new segment that you're going to introduce.
Oh, yeah. So, watching NBA games, you get to see the looks of the players. And there's some looks that you're feeling, some looks that you're really just not. You're just not really feeling it. You're like, watch them, and you're like, ooh, I don't like that. So, I thought that we could talk about whose look are you feeling? Whose look are you not feeling? So let's talk about first who are you not feeling this season? Who have you watched the Thunder play or who have you watched play that you're just like, I hate this look?
I have an answer. I was flipping through my GQ magazine.
Oh.
And in the early in it in the ads, Carmelo Anthony with a big O watch.
This is not really what I had in mind.
No. And then he said, is a quote from him. Read on Twitter, said he's the first NBA player to really embrace timepieces. And I wanted to reach through Twitter and grab Carmelo Anthony. Said, "You're not a relevant NBA player. You will never be any good. You will never be on a team. I do not like your style."
All because he wears a watch.
What about when Ron Artest was sporting some watches?
Wait, what's the deal with people wear watches? Carmelo Anthony.
Period.
Is not.
Was that the end of a statement?
He wears watches.
The end.
No, because he was saying
Gary Neal. Excuse me.
Gary Harris.
No. Who's the point guard? Why did I just blank on the point guard for George Hill? I can't do the blonde hair. Oh, it drives me insane.
That's terrible.
It's really bad.
It's so bad. If Kevin Durant did that, I would say trade him.
Is there anybody that could do that that you would like?
Me in seventh grade.
Dion.
Anybody in the movie Meteor Man? Never mind. Wesley Snipes in Demolition Man.
Sorry.
Okay, cool.
Nope.
Tyler Johnson. I don't like his look.
I don't know who that is.
You don't like his face.
I don't like his hair, though.
I'm going to throw it out there. Is he a white power forward?
No, he's a white guard for Miami. He's actually pretty good. Singler's the worst. I didn't even feel like I had to mention that. I felt like that was kind of...
Yeah. Overall, none of us are feeling Singler.
Not at all.
Feeling that look.
He could be put into any emo band and would fit in.
He would be huge, though.
Who's yours, Andrew?
He would.
Damari Carroll. Not feeling the hair.
Oh, the hair. It's kind of predator-ish.
It's bad. You know what? I'm okay with, having the braids that are, flowy. I'm really feeling Kenneth Faried. I've been feeling that look for a long time. The way that he braided it up,
it looks really lumpy. He's got a lumpy head.
I am not feeling that.
I'm not either. He looked kind of weird.
I was kind of excited to watch him, and then when I saw him, I was like,
yeah. No, I'm with you.
I don't like that.
Someone I'm feeling, Josh McRoberts.
Yeah, McBob.
I'm feeling that. because that guy does not look like he should be good at basketball. Joakim Noah let his hair down last night.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I did see that.
So it's just strange looking, kind of feeling it.
Kind of feeling it. Are you feeling Kevin Love?
No, I'm not feeling
Wait,
that.
What's the... Oh, the curly hair?
The mustache? He's wearing like headbands with a mustache.
Oh,
when
no.
he has the curly hair, he looks like Little Orphan Annie.
He does. He has Annie's hair.
Yeah.
It's not good. I do not feel
I
it.
Like Kevin Love's. I'm but kinda, I'm you know who I don't
it.
Like?
You're feeling it?
I'm kind of feeling it, yeah.
Did y'all see LeBron James' mustache?
Oh, God.
Is this no. a he had a mustache on... What was that? What night did they play the... is this he ripped his sleeves.
Movember thing? Is that what it is?
Maybe. Or him and Kevin Love are like, let's be insane.
Let's just have mustaches.
Here's the difference, though. Kevin Love looks ironic and funny. Like, that's kind of what he's going for. LeBron looks like a 60-year-old granddad that's sitting on the porch. Because he's balding, right? And then he's got this dirty, like, dark mustache. It's just strange. What about Derrick Rose? Did y'all talk about Derrick Rose?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With the mask and the nappy hair, it just is like, you're kind of horrifying.
I'm totally feeling it.
My son last night. It? My son last night goes, why does that guy have tape on his head? I was like, well, son, it's a mask. So it looks like duct tape.
I'm feeling it.
I'm feeling Steven Adams' look.
I'm getting out of Steven Adams' look. He needs to go with like the Joakim Noah man bun and get. He's got like nappy parts like flying all over the place.
The thing about him is that it's totally like junior year of college and you've totally let yourself go, and that's what he looks like. Like every year, he gets crazier looking. I like it.
Kind of feeling it.
Reminds me of myself. You went away younger years. All right, that's who looks are we digging. Our new segment.
The end.
Who looks are we digging?
That's who looks are we
who
digging?
Who looks are we digging?
Whose looks are you digging? Hey, whose looks are you digging? Use that as the drop.
All right. He goes to you a few more times.
Say what's day of the week?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
Say what?
What? I can't read lips, Jay.
Say what?
Stat of the week.
I have two of them. One is a good friend of mine, somebody dear to my heart. Some people would even say he's my son. Jeremy Lamb got a contract, 7 for 21, or no, 3 for 21.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. Not a bad contract, sure, whatever. Has he deserved it? Probably not. But here's what he's doing so far. So this year, per 36,
this is completely an inflated three-game stat, but his per 36 numbers are 24.8 points.
How many minutes is he getting per game?
Not that many. All right, let's go to his per game minutes.
Why are we?
Hold on. Let's go.
Let's just jump to per 100 possessions. Let's just see what happens. Be freaking awesome.
64 points per game.
So in 19 minutes a game, which is not bad, he's shooting 58.6% from the field, 50% from the three-point line. And he's averaging 13 points. 13 points, 3 rebounds.
If he becomes like really good, I'm going to be so mad at him.
My second one, because that one, come on, he's played 3 games. I'm just kidding.
He's a butt.
But the real one is Andre Drummond, who is just killing it right now.
Yeah.
So far this season, he is playing, a lot of minutes, almost 40 minutes a game, but he's got 19.5 rebounds a game and 20 points a game so far in four
games.
He's
had 30 offensive rebounds.
It's insanity.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He's playing out of his mind.
And he's almost at 2 blocks and 2 steals per game, too.
Yeah, he's been incredible.
Taylor?
Stan Van. I was going to read Drummond's.
Sorry, man. It's okay. Dang, we could have talked.
We did. We talked.
Steph Curry has been ridiculous. Like, Steph Curry has been absolutely ridiculous. He has 179 points through this first part of the season. He's been just incredible. I mean, just getting to watch him again. I mean, we got to see him in the finals, but this guy was unbelievable. He's hit 28 three-point shots so far this season. The next highest amount is 16 with Dame Lillard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insanity.
It's stupid how much better. Steph Curry is better this year than he has been ever so far.
He's more explosive. Like, he really honestly is.
He's more explosive. He's just
willing to gamble more. Like, even offensively, he's just doing ridiculous things.
I want, like, Durant's hit 14 threes so far. I want him to just take shoot threes like yeah. Curry does.
You know what I was thinking about the other day? We kind of said, like, oh, Steph Curry, Ray Allen, Kevin Durant are the best shooters in the league. You know, 2 years ago, that's what it was, right? Yeah. Like, Steph Curry has distanced himself so much from everyone else. I don't think Kevin Durant is in the same realm shooting-wise as Steph anymore.
He's the best shooter of all time.
Steph is ridiculous.
But I still want Durant to take more
threes. I do, too. Steph, yeah.
Bury my shell at wounded knee.
Then Durant's only taken 34 threes to Steph's 54.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I don't know. James Harden's taken 55 threes, but has not shot well at all.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Are you miffed? And are you peeved?
Miffed and peeved.
Besides Thunder stuff, I'm not completely miffed about anything. I mean, I'm miffed about Kyle Singler, basically.
I'm miffed. I forgot to wear a belt today.
That's the second week in a row.
I'm so mad. And I went the last week. I've got to go by my brother's house and steal one of his belts, because last week I went to lunch with him on the day I forgot my belt. And he was like, that's like a huge business phone call, man. It really called me out on it. And I was like, So
that is so stupid that that's such a faux pas, huh?
Alley Cat Blues.
I was pretty miffed yesterday. I came home and my freezer, yeah, there's like a temperature gauge on the outside of my freezer that tells us what the temperature is.
Mm-hmm.
And my freezer just stopped freezing things. And we had just bought a quarter of a cow. We had a quarter of a cow in the freezer.
Whoa. You bought a quarter of a cow?
Bought a quarter of a cow.
For what?
Food?
For food.
Like, that's what you do now? Yeah. Okay. Instead of like buying meat at the
grocery store. It's way cheaper?
It's cheaper. It's grass-fed.
What was the name of the cow?
Bernie.
Did he have friends?
Bernie? After Bernie, yeah. Sanders?
After, yeah. Feel the burn. And anyways.
Don't worry about this. Don't pay attention to this.
So, anyways, I had to basically take apart my freezer.
That sucks.
Did you save the meat?
The meat has been saved. My wife was kind of freaking out about the meat.
Luke looks like he's trying to save his meat right now for some reason.
Don't worry about it. I've got a zit on my leg. It's really
I'm
hard
really
to
worried
reach.
About that.
That is so disgusting.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast.
His hand is in his zipper.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at dailythunder.com and downtodunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTDpodcast. And ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.